Welcome to Vinny Mike, episode 42. Mariano Rivera. Hey, Mike.
Hello, Vinny. Sounded like a werewolf there.
42.
42.
My Mariano Rivera reference.
Yes. How you doing?
Doing well. Vin and Mike brought to you by Vicky Betts. Go to Vicky Betts right now at Vicky Betts on Twitter or Instagram, and you get some of these nice little packages if you send them a message. You get $9.99 a month for his handicapping. He's been doing some good stuff there. Go check him out at Vicky Betts. We're also part of the Pigskin Podcast Network. You can check us out over there. And then always VinAndMikePodcast.com for everything and anything with Vin and Mike. So it's a beautiful Tuesday. Week 3 in the NFL has wrapped up. And also later in the show, hopefully in the next few minutes, our good friend and Packers fan, Kyle Manske, will join us and talk about his trip to Tampa as his Packers won 14-12 there. But until he gets on, let's talk a little bit about week 3, Mike, and some key highlights that you saw.
Yeah, so, I mean, wild week 3. And as you say, Vinny, it's always any given Sunday. You know, just with the Jets, I have to start with them because they're my team. I was a little nervous about this game, I'm not going to lie, because the Bengals were 0-2. They were in the Super Bowl last year. Joe Burrow is a real quality quarterback, and they were very hungry for their first win. And Burrow was very Burrow-esque in the game, throwing 3 touchdowns, close to 300 yards, I think 275. The Jets were not able to get him, and their offensive line really stood up. And really, pretty much from the first quarter, it was the Bengals' game. The Jets really weren't in it. I think at one point it was 7-6, but after that, the Bengals just took over. As we talked about, Vinny, the Jets, to win that game, obviously had to continue their offensive prowess, which they did against the Cleveland, but also they had to get to Burrow, being able to sack him and, you know, find him under pressure. They just weren't able to do that. So it was disappointing, but as a Jets fan, I have a lot of optimism because Zach Wilson is coming back supposedly next week. They need that. They need someone who could run out of the pocket, because I got to give Joe Flacco credit. He did what he was supposed to do. He played hard. It's just he can't run out of trouble, and that's where a younger Zach Wilson could come in and hopefully make a difference. And that's where we really are right now. So that was really the first game. And then, you know, Kyle's going to talk about the Tampa Green Bay game. We'll let him talk about that. Even last night, the Dallas Giants game, a pure NFC East duel. You know, I was so impressed with Cooper Rush. As Maz was on the show a couple weeks ago, he was the one who stood up for him and say, watch out for this guy. And meanwhile, the guy has done nothing but good things for the Cowboys. They were spectacular last night on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. I laughed because CeeDee Lamb had that drop in the first half, and it was just an open touchdown, but he totally redeemed himself, and it was a fun game to watch. And I think that the Cowboys are for real, and I know they're going to have some the Eagles are in first place right now, but it's going to be exciting. NFC East is the beginning of the season. A lot of people were just saying, it's going to be a really easy division for the Eagles. But look at these Cowboys right now, and the Giants too. I mean, with Saquon Barkley back and Daniel Jones finding his stride, even though they lost last night, they were competitive. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching this division throughout the year.
Yeah. I mean, I'll start with your Jets. I thought the big thing was they didn't have the pass rush that since Pittsburgh and Dallas had. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, who's on the team and who's available and who does what when it comes to the situations there. And I think they're just a little young still on the defensive line, and they'll improve as time goes on and get better there. I think you make a good point. Once Zach Wilson comes back, I think they'll do a lot of good things, and really offense is going to have to pick up a little bit. You know, we know Joe Flacco is a holder right now, and
correct.
You know, but I like the way Garrett Wilson's still playing. I like their whole mesh, and they just seem like they're improved. You know, maybe 1-2 doesn't make you feel, you know, overly improved, but to me they're an improved team what I've seen so far on the field. And the same with the Giants. I think the Giants look improved to me. I think they look better than they were a year ago, but I don't think they're ready to take that next step. Barkley is a huge difference maker for them. I think that's extremely important, but I don't know. Their defense is a little lackluster. They don't have a real big number one receiver. You know, Galladay looks terrible every time I see him out there, and they don't have anybody else really to contribute on that side of the ball. And then Sterling Shepard looked like he was done for the year last night, but we'll wait and see on all that. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a long year in New York for New York fans. I mean, the only 0-3 team in football right now are the Raiders, so I can only imagine how long my year is going to be.
Don't talk about New York sports.
I mean, it's just, holy cow. I mean, it's going to be a very long year at this point. Somebody gave me a little optimism. One of my friends said, at least they still have some division games left there to play. So, you know, we got Denver this week. So maybe you feel a little bit better. We got to get a W. You know, we can't be 0-4. I mean, that would be like totally ridiculous. At that point, I think Josh McDaniels might have to get fired already. I mean, he already had to have a private sit down conversation with Mark Davis. So it's already starting to escalate before the season even gets going here. So it's crazy.
Well, but, I see before, somebody laughing in the background.
Yeah, that's what I said. Before we start going crazier and crazier, let's bring this guy in over here.
Hey, Kyle.
Yes.
Well, first of all, it's bad. The consultation with Mark Davis, was that about haircuts?
probably to see which barber they go to and who needs to go where.
I know. I don't know what kind of bowl. Cereal bowl, pasta bowl. Does Mark Davis used to get his hair cut? I need the same thing. I just got one this past weekend. Right.
Look at that. Look at that do, man. Very, very chic.
I like it, but it also shows that I got a big head. So.
Oh, stop. Stop. Well, if you don't, for our viewing audience, we'd like to welcome back Kyle Manske. Kyle is a great guy. He was on the show. One of the first guests, actually, I think episode three back or four.
Back in January, I think at the time, I don't know if you still have it. I bet probably Gus Frerotte beat me. But right before you talked to the great Gus Frerotte, who they consider a Vikings legend, I think I was the highest rated episode at the time. But like I said,
for good reason.
Or yeah. NFL former NFL QB. I think I know who's going to win that.
Yeah. For good reason.
That was a long run because if I'm right, you were like episode 3 and yes. Gus was like episode like 16 or 17. So you had a good run.
Take it while you can.
Well, let's get right into it. I mean, Kyle, as you know, is a huge Green Bay Packers fan, and I was so excited for him because he said to me, I want to take this trip to Tampa. This could be the last matchup between two premier quarterbacks, Brady and Rodgers, and he did it. He went there. He got to see the game. He had great seats. So I wanted to just talk to you about that, Kyle. Obviously, the Packers are so important to you. And I just wanted, Vinny and I really want to hear about what the vibe was that day, kind of the itinerary, you sitting at that stadium, your thoughts. So take it away, please.
Before I get into that, I don't want to keep rubbing salt into the wound, Ben. But with Devontae Adams, I don't understand why he's upset and he has him up being upset about being 0-3 when this is what he wanted. The Packers, we offered him more money than the Raiders. but he wanted to play in Vegas. He said he went from one Hall of Fame QB to another Hall of Fame QB. So I don't understand why he's upset when he know that he was getting into a maybe a more dysfunctional franchise that has a new head coach. There's a lot of elements that go into that. And why is Devontae upset about when he knew what he was getting into? Because I hate that they say the Packers could assign him. We did. We offered more money. We offered the same years. But Devontae said no. And we're like, fine, we'll move on. But because of that, we got to keep DeAndre Campbell, inside linebacker, who on the two-point conversion actually tipped. If you rewatch, Devontae Campbell tipped the Brady's two-point conversion pass, which is the reason why it was incomplete. We also got to keep Rasul Douglas, who Jair came out. That is our number two or three cornerback. And you were able to keep pieces of the defense. And more importantly, this might be one of the first times that I can say that the Packers special teams won them that game. If I had to give a game ball, I probably would have given it to Aaron Jones. But I also would have given it to our punter, Pat O'Donnell. He had, I want to say, four or five punts, especially if I see the photo. They had a punt when Packers went three and out. We're at our 40-yard line. Our special team did great. This one play, it landed on the Buccaneers' two-yard line, and we were able to get a three and out, go back on the ball. But because of Devontae leaving, we were able to have a more complete team. So
yeah, you also got Rich Bisaccia, who is your special teams coach, and that's where Raider fans are even more upset in that, you know, he should and could still be our head coach, a guy that took us to the playoffs when it was a dysfunctional family out there because of John Gruden, and they replaced him with Josh McDaniels, the wonder boy on offense. And we can't do anything on offense with Devontae Adams or anyone. So the whole Green Bay Raider connection is in favor of Green Bay 2-0 right now.
We're coming up week four. It's a long, long season. But it always starts. But seriously, it always starts at tone at the top. The tone at the top sets for everything else. And that's why, Mike, like, the Jets are always the Jets, because it's the tone at the top. It's Woody Johnson and that dysfunction, which then leads down into the rest of the team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's Kyle, we talk about this all the time. I mean,
all the time.
I have to say, though, I'm still optimistic about the Jets with Zach Wilson coming back. And I do stand by, they had one of their best drafts that I remember in a long time.
I bring that up to you. I said you had one of the best drafts of any team in the NFL.
So the season's young. We'll see what happens. Now getting back to you, this game. And great picture, by the way, with the Tampa Bay cheerleaders. Let's talk about that. How'd you maneuver your way to that picture?
Best thing about Florida, I probably had. You don't get this in New York. You sometimes will get this in Wisconsin. But I to take me to the Buccaneers game, and then I think also taking me to the airport, I got picked up in a black and a blue Ford F-150. And I was so excited when I saw that Uber come and that black Ford F-150 to pick me up. I wanted to sit in the way back. I was like, can I sit in the back? And I'm like, wait, I'm going on a highway. I should be a little safe here. So that made me so excited, first of all, getting to the stadium in an F-150, especially being picked up in an Uber. Walking by, you see the Buccaneers cheerleaders. You got to take a photo. It's like, you know, when you're like 15 or 16, all the guys are like, as teenagers, like, oh, we're going to go to Hooters. We're thinking it's really cool. I was guilty of that. I'll admit it. Why did you really go? Oh, the food? Yeah, mom.
Yeah, go for the chicken wings. They got good wings.
I like that sandwich, you know. It's a good sandwich.
It's a really good chicken sandwich they have there.
Did you see those French fries? Look at the cheese on
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those French fries are extra crispy. I go for the fries.
Right, right. That's the reason. That's the real reason why we go. So I had the cheerleaders, and I'm trying to get like my two friends that I went with. I was like, "Do you guys want one?" They're like in their I want to say mid 50s. They're like, "No, no." They're like, "Do you want a photo?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So I got in. I got a photo in that, and then I also saw, I think it was an F-150, but regardless, it was a truck. I was so excited to see another truck in Florida.
There you go.
Get my photo in front of it, and then you show off to all your guy friends. Oh, look at me with the cheerleaders.
Yeah. Kyle, when I looked at this game at the beginning, I just looked, you know, Mike Evans was out for Tampa, and I thought in my mind, who the hell does Brady have to throw to, right? So he had a tough offense to deal with. As it showed throughout that game, it was very, very apparent that they had so much difficulty till the very end of the game. So, and then you saw the Packers. It was a very low-scoring game. Ended up 14-12. When you left the stadium that day, were you really happy with the Packers' performance? Because I thought they should have won the game by like 30 points based on what I saw with Tampa. Or you're just like, you know what? It was a matchup between two great quarterbacks, and we're happy to come out with a win.
This is this AGS, any given Sunday. This is why you play in the game. You can. It doesn't matter that, yes, with the Buccaneers' top wide receivers out, and Brady had to work with Russell Gage, who had a couple big plays. I think he had like one 20-yard catch. Rashad Perryman, who did okay except fumbled the ball. He had a big fumble, which led to a Packers turnover, I want to say right before the half or the third quarter. And Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller is like Devin Harris. Devin Harris, if you remember, could just run straight and fast. And Scotty Miller does the same thing. And the more I watch Scotty Miller play, I think, when is this guy going to get cut? So the Buccaneers were working with nothing. We were working with nothing as well. Sammy Watkins is on the IR, so he's going to be out for at least three more weeks. Romeo Dobb, great breakout game, and of course,
great game for him.
Great game for him, and of course, knowing my luck, I leave him on my fantasy football bench. I'm like, this guy, of course, gets a touchdown. He's on my bench collecting points while Herbert is hurt, and I've also have like Cordell Patterson, and you have Christian Watson, who didn't really do much, and then Alan Lazard. So you knew the receiver situation was going to be tough. This was going to be a game where you're going to have to rely on your run game, defense, and special teams. So originally, going into the game, I thought it's going to be a close game, but when you have the opportunity to put Brady away, you take advantage of it. And that was the one thing that upset me, that this team had so many chances. It was like, about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, third and goal. I'm like, they were up 14-3. You get a touchdown, 21-3, going right before the half. In my opinion, boom, dagger, game over. That's game right there. 18-point, kind of hard to come back to. Even if you get a touch, even if you get a field goal, you are up 2 touchdowns. And you get the ball in the second half. You can control the clock. Unfortunately, though, Aaron Jones had a fumble. It was a great play by the defense, by Buccaneers defense. I'm trying to think who made it. Maybe Jamal Day. I can't. Regardless, it was a great play by the Buccaneers secondary. But then that led to a Buccaneers turnover, but we had so many opportunities to put it away. And I'm just worried, like, you just can't leave Brady lingering and hanging. I mean, this isn't – I know Joe Flacco did it, but it's not like you're playing who's the Patriots backup now that Mac Jones is out?
Hoyer.
It's not like you're playing Brian Hoyer here and you can let this is Tom Brady here. This guy has 7 Super Bowls. He's going to find a way to come back. So when we punted the ball and we got it deep in the Tampa, I want to say the 10 or 11 yard line, I think I texted Mike. I was telling my friends, people around there, OT, here we go. I knew it was going to happen, and I was just prepared for it. And what happens? First play, 12-yard pass. Clock is still going down. Next play, 6-yard run. I'm like, I knew it was going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. All of a sudden, second and goal, I want to say it was Adrian Amos gets caught on pass interference, which I feel like pass interference or holding, those calls happen every game where you see grabbing by the collar or just grabbing around. But it all depends on timing. Sometimes you get away with it. Other times, you know, you're standing. Amos is an idiot. He was standing right in front of the referee. You're going to get caught. So you get caught, pass interference. Packers defense does a good job limiting Fournette. First down and then second down's incompletion. Third down, touchdown, like, okay, whatever. Just play for the two-point conversion. And my heart there, like, I'm usually pretty loud and aggressive, but at the game, I get so nervous and, like, I panic where when the touchdown happened, I was like, oh, no. I just, like, I keep – no, seriously.
You have a different dynamic than at home, for sure.
Like when I'm out there in the game, I'm not screaming. Like, inside my head, I just, like, I want to pace. I want to move back and forth. But I just, like, I got to hold it still. And I'm just, like, oh, God. I'm like, got to make Brady throw here. So when the two-point conversion happened, great. Even if DeAndre Campbell, doesn't tip the ball, it was such a tight window, and Rasul Douglas was already prepared, that I don't think it still would have happened. So incompletion happened, and then when it happened, I know, like, game over, I just screamed, oh, my God, let's go. And there were probably 50, it was 50-50 Packer fans. There were a lot of
I saw that
there, yeah. And I was so happy getting Go Pack Go chant. Like, I was screaming Go Pack Go, and then the section across from the stadium was chanting Go Pack Go as well. And, like, then I could, like, all the emotion I felt, I let it all out. Because most of the game, I was just silent. And to myself, I'm like, okay. Like, after a touchdown, I'm like, good touchdown. No defense, got to force three and out. Even if it's three and out, just run down the clock. Like, I'm, like, thinking like a coach in my head at the game. Like, okay, what's the next step? What do we need to do? But when I knew the game was over, when the dagger was in, that's Wayne Larrabee, the Packers play-by-play. When the game is over, he screams, and there's your dagger. So it was after that two-point conversion. I, like, re-listen or re-watch after. And then Alan Lazard with the play, I was able to, like, let – all this energy out and just finally scream and, like, get into it. And my two friends, I went, were surprised. They're like, you're pretty quiet and well respectful during the game. They thought, like, I would be the loud, obnoxious Packer fan. They're like, you were the complete opposite.
Yeah.
Were you shocked that Brady got the delay of game there on that 2-point conversion?
Well, that was on the center. That was on the rookie center. It's on the rookie center and a banged up O-line that there was a miscommunication. I think what Rodgers pointed to is that on the scoreboard showed 20 seconds for the game clock. But inside, you know, after a play, after like whatever, to set up for a 2-point conversion or an extra point, you have 25 seconds. So you have an inexperienced center that in their head is thinking, okay, I got 25 seconds. So when that delay of game happened, the center is thinking, all right, I'm going to set up, take my time. But Brady and the offensive line, they probably work in practice when they have these drills. It's like, I'm going to say this word, or I'm going to clap my hands like two or three times when I know, like, hey, I need the ball. I need the ball now. So when you have an inexperienced center who doesn't really understand that there might be a 5-second runoff between what's on the scoreboard and inside their head, it's like, oh, it's 25 seconds. And Brady, I feel like Brady would have communicated, this is what I'm going to say. This is how many times I'm going to clap when I need the ball. Because even before that touchdown play, it should have been a delay of game. They barely got that ball off. And when that ball went off, it was exactly at 0-0, or that's what I saw on the scoreboard. So then after that play, because what you could have done is you probably could have handed the ball off to Fournette. You would have gotten 2 yards. That delay of game changes everything, because then Brady right. has to trust on his wide receivers that he hasn't really worked with. Your top three are gone, and it's kind of a crapshoot. Maybe the play works. Maybe it doesn't. But you just can't hand the ball off to Fournette, because then at the seven, that's just hard to get seven yards in one play, especially when you're going to tighten up the box, tighten up the defensive line.
Yeah. But all right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get Kyle to give us his thoughts on the NFC North and the rest of the league. But let's take a quick commercial break here. The NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code TPPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. All right, I've been listening to Vin and Mike, you know, as everyone knows, on my Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. Optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. These earbuds are comfortable and they will not budge. Trust me. Raycon gives you 8 hours of playtime, 32 hours of battery life, half the price of other premium audio brands. No wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. They have noise isolation, awareness mode. I know Kyle just took a flight from, you know, the New York area down to Tampa, maybe out to the Green Bay area, and he likes to put his earbuds in. So why not? Go to Raycon.com today and use code TPPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code TPPN15 at BuyRaycon.com to score 15% off. BuyRaycon.com, code TPPN15. So I know Mike threw his Raycon earbuds at Joe Flacco after the game on Sunday.
But that's like you said, he's a fill-in. He won that dramatic game against Cleveland, and now we need Zach back. And we got to see how they play against the Steelers.
The Zach attack.
Zach attack.
So, yeah. So, you know, I've been impressed with Detroit's offense. You know, I've really been impressed with it. I like the way they're putting things together despite Jared Goff being there, but I really like Amon St. Brown. I like Swift. I like Williams. I like Hockenson. I just like all the things they're doing there. I know the defense is not up to par of the offense, but they're putting up a lot of points on the board. I think they're going to be competitive for the NFC North all year. I don't know how many games they're actually going to win, but I think they'll be a competitive team, a tough out every week. What are some of your thoughts on the Lions?
They'll improve. I think last year they had 3-4 wins.
Yeah.
They had three wins last year. They'll get better than that. But every year is about making steps. So, Mike, as a Jets fan, you want to see this year. I'm being serious.
Okay, I'll take you seriously here. Go ahead.
It's all about improvement. So you got a big win. You came back. You were able to close out a game. That's great. Riding off that high. Unfortunately, it was a tough game against the Bengals. But you want to see this year is improvement. And like, hey, if we can get – I told you, if this team will be a success, if they can get 6-7 wins, if you can build off of that, get around 500, maybe compete for a 6 or 7 spot. But it's all about every single year you need to build off and you need to make improvements.
100%.
So with the Lions, 3 wins, you want to build off of that. Like you said, St. Brown, he's fun to watch. I really like their offense. But the team has to learn. You can have a great offense, but you got to learn. That game made me so upset on Sunday. One, it was against the Vikings, who I can't stand. But you have to learn to close games. How do you do it in offense when you run the ball, kill the clock? It's high scoring and high pace, but now it's learning how to take the next step. It's like, okay, when we get 6 wins here, can we learn on the road in a big game in a divisional opponent? How are we going to close out? And the only way you learn is by what happened on Sunday, taking that experience and growing from it. But I agree. They're a fun team. Dan Campbell is a coach I would want to play for, especially after watching Hard Knocks. That is someone that seemed that would want to fight for you, that you would be motivated to work for. But it's all about building blocks and taking the next step. So if this team, the Lions will have a successful year looking at this division. If they can get second place in the NFC North, that will be a good year for them. And that's their ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll say one more thing. I'm making a prediction. I know we don't do our pick show till later in the week, but Seahawks are going into Detroit this weekend. I'm making a bold statement that Detroit wins that game.
Wow.
Yep. I like Detroit to win against the Seahawks. I don't think the Seahawks are good. I don't believe in Geno Smith, and I do believe the Lions are getting better, and this is a game that the Detroit Lions will win.
Same thing with the Lions. Now the next step is, okay, you have a game you're supposed to win. You still get – regardless if you're playing the Seahawks or the Bills – you still got to prepare the same way and take it seriously. So that's the next step for this line. You can't half-ass it because, oh, we're playing the Seahawks. We're at home against Geno Smith. No, the same mentality. Got to take it the same way. But I agree with you, Mike, that they have the same mentality. And they win this at home. It shows that they're making progress.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all you can do. That's all you can do. When you're a team like the Lions, it just show improvement every year. Eventually, in a year or so, you're going to have to say, okay, now we rebuild. Now we got to compete. That's always the toughest part.
Yeah. Another question for you. You see this Bears team is 2-1. Obviously, you know, they won against the 49ers. And then I said to Vinny, one of our strong bets was that your Packers were going to beat them by a large margin, but this team is 2-1. Are they for real or is this a fluke? Yeah.
Stop.
Well, I have to ask you the question.
They're the worst 2-1 team in the history of football.
I picked them to be the worst team this year, and Vinny's friend Anthony, I know, is not happy with me. I can't believe they're 2-1. I think that it's just a downward spiral. They got lucky wins. Obviously, it was a weather game. With San Fran. I mean, come on. It's just I just can't believe they're in that 2-1 right now. Vinny, I agree with you. Worst 2-1 team. Kyle, go ahead.
My biggest issue, I have a lot of issues with the NFL, but schedule means more impact with the NFL than any other league. You can be like the Giants or the Bears. I mean, the Bears have such a when you're a bad team and you've been a bad team, you're going to get favorable matchups. You're going to get easier games. So you beat the 49ers with Trey Lance, who on the road, bad weather game, week one. Okay. You played real competition, like your big brother up north, the Packers. You're going to get smacked. And then what happens? Oh, because you were a bad team last year, you're going to get an easier schedule. So you get the Texans at home, who you just beat by 3 points. Good teams take care. Good teams, in my opinion, dominate or win the games they're supposed to. But it's also week three. It's a long season. They have the Giants, Vikings, Commanders, Patriots, and Cowboys the next 5 games. Realistically, the Bears could go, except for maybe Vikings, because that's on the road, maybe Cowboys, they could go 3-2. They can beat the Giants. They can beat the Commanders. Like, they could go 3-2, but that's not a true indication of how good a team really is when you have a favorable or a cupcake schedule.
Yeah, they fall a lot of these games at home that are just very favorable to them, you know, and I think ultimately, after seeing what I've seen so far this year, besides the Raiders, I think the Texans and the Seahawks are just like horrific, you know. And I think the Texans are just so bad because they're just not set up right from a coaching perspective. And Seattle, I don't know why they keep giving Geno Smith the ball. I would take my chances with Drew Lock at this point because it makes no sense. You know what Geno Smith is. We still don't 100% know what Drew Lock is, and it seems like the guy just never ultimately gets like that real chance. But I don't know. The Bears are going to play the Giants, which could be two teams that are 2-1 right now, and both end up with like 4 or 5 wins on the entire season. You know, the way their schedules are set up and the way things are, but we'll wait and see.
I don't like Fields. I don't like that offense. First of all, I don't trust any Ohio State QB. You can go down the list. Ardale Jones, RIP Dwayne Haskins, any Ohio State QB, I'm putting the cross like, no, I do not want that guy on my team.
Yeah, he threw 2 interceptions and only 106 yards. Come on, it's a joke.
This is the same guy, the Sunday night game, the Packers-Bear game, the throw to the less talented former Packer, ESB, the other Saint, I call him the other Saint Brown, or as a joke, because he sucked with the Packers, the less talented Saint Brown, is he went past the line of scrimmage 2 yards to go for a third down wide open play, which A, if you would have just ran past the line of scrimmage, you would have gotten the first down. B, if you would have just waited and throw, you got it. But it's just the lack of mental awareness of knowing where you are, right, and understanding just simple things, the line of scrimmage, what is my mental clock of getting rid of the ball, releasing, right, knowing what weapons I have, different routes. It's so many red flags for this team that when you have a quarterback and you put them through a system and then it takes 2 or 3 years and they have no confidence and then they never develop. Like, that's what I think happened with like Sam Darnold. You can't just throw a guy in and expect them to work. They have to learn under, they got to learn the system, understand how things work, then put him in that situation to be successful.
Yeah, you know, it was so dumb too. I told you after week one, Kyle, with the Packers, even, you know, Davante Adams leaves, and then these people who were trashing the Packers were just like, and same with the Rams, just like, oh, you know, I don't know about them. I don't know if they're going to be in the playoffs. Like, you got to be kidding me. You have to, like, as you said, you have to have chemistry with your new receivers. You have to build on that. It takes a few games of the season to get acclimated with that. But don't judge anything the first couple games. We're still assessing teams here. It's probably not till week 4, week 5, even now with a 17-game schedule, that you could really get a true trend on a team. Although with the Bears, I do think they suck. And Anthony, I'm sorry to say that, but I do think they're the worst team in the league. They have had a favorable schedule, and I hope my prediction is still right.
He's just getting very aggravated because I picked the Seahawks to be the worst team, and he picked the Bears. And after my Colts win last week against him, he's very agitated.
Very agitated. No, I was happy that he picked that. It was a good play. I had Baltimore, so we did okay over here.
But like Mike said, you know, the only way you can practice. It's week one. When you have new receivers, you have a new quarterback, new O-line, new system. When a new coach comes in and doesn't work, you can practice so many times. You can run through drills, different huddles. But the only way you learn is by playing the game, is trying different routes, seeing what works, what doesn't work, taking those adjustments and then learning, putting it into next week. And some schemes, some are going to play zone. Some are going to be, you know, more fronts where you're going to have to rely on passing game. But that's the only way these rookies learn. And when it's week one, and I get annoyed because the Viking fans are going at me, oh, we beat the Packers. We beat the Packers. We're so good. I'm like, it's week one.
Correct.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the Eagles right now? You know, do you think they're the team that Packers have to watch out for the most?
First, I thought you were going to say Vikings, and the Vikings, Packers live rent-free in the Vikings' head. But if you want to talk about the Eagles, I don't buy this team. You barely beat the Lions at home on the road, and they were up by what, two or three touchdowns, and you all. Barely held on. Your next game, Vikings, which a now that I'm saying this, and I'm saying this on a podcast, so they're probably going to be like the next Patriots. But I made a wish ever since I was 4 years old and every single year that the Vikings would never win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. And now imagine like Kirk Cousins is going to be the next Tom Brady and Kevin O'Connell's going to be the next, like Bill Belichick, and they're going to have 7 Super Bowls. And that's going to be like my hell. It's like that for me, where the Vikings are just the new dynasty taking over. But you have Kirk Cousins, who has only won, I want to say, 2 Monday Night Football games, and that was against the Bears, the worst team in the NFL. Vikings are so bipolar. If they're on the road and it's cold at all, that team cracks. And then you beat the Commanders, who Carson Wentz just looks, that guy is done. I mean, such a nice guy, and I feel badly for him, what happened, because 2017, he was playing great. And then unfortunately against the Rams, who was a great team, tore his ACL and just hasn't built his confidence back. I remember arguing with you, Vin, that I like Wentz, and then you told me he's a bum.
That came out of Vinny's mouth? No, I can't.
That came out of Vinny's mouth. That came out of Vinny's mouth. Called him a bum. Hashtag bum.
Kyle has the best memory, I'll tell you.
But I was right.
Yeah, you were right. But this will be a big test for them. Doug Peterson, first of all, you know, it has taken Doug Peterson 3 games to tie Urban Meyer's 5th all time and Jacksonville Jaguar wins with 2.
Oh man.
So
I tell you, I like Doug Peterson. I just think he's one of those guys that brings a professional environment to the team. And I think that's what Trevor Lawrence and those Jaguars really needed.
No, it's time for them. You know, Trevor, you had a year. Urban was such a mess. That wasn't going to work. These big college guys never pan out in the NFL. There's a difference between talking to 18, 19-year-olds and then 24, 25 multimillionaires that don't have to listen to you. So you need more professionalism and more type of culture. But I want Peterson to do well. You had a huge win against the Chargers. But this is going to be a big test for them and a big test for the Eagles against a great, very good Jaguars defense. And for the next step for Trevor Lawrence, now you have a big road game. You have a coach who's been there. Can you make those next steps? And that's what we keep talking about, the next step in developing as a team and a professional. But I don't buy. Here's the Eagles' schedule. Jaguars, at home. Still be able to be a tough game. Cardinals, that team's a joke. Cliff Kingsbury, that guy's got to be fired. They've kind of hit their ceiling. It hasn't worked. Cardinals have been so disappointed. If it weren't for one fluky pit play against you guys, Vin, that team would be 0-3, and we'd be putting them with the Seahawks. Cowboys at home should win. Steelers, maybe Kenny Pickett will be starting by then. Texans, Commanders, Colts. Then they got us Sunday night game. They got us for a Sunday night game in Philadelphia. Titans, Giants, Bears, Cowboys, and then Saints and Giants. So that's a favorable schedule. It's the same thing we were talking about with the Giants and Bears. That sometimes when you have a favorable schedule, when you've been bad for a number of years, and then you have a decent team, like they have a good roster. I like Jalen Hurts, but do I think they're compared to a Buccaneers, or I know I'm biased here, a Packers, or maybe a Rams? No, not on that level. A lot of these teams, like the Cardinals last year, remember the Cardinals started, I want to say, 6-0, and the Packers gave them their first loss, and then the Cardinals were kind of down spiraling because it's different being cocky and really good in week 3, week 4, and then week 12 when you have the target on your back and you're trying to learn how to – when you're not used to winning and then you're all of a sudden trying to figure out how to maintain it, it's – the clock eventually strikes midnight for these teams. And I think the Eagles are a great story, but the clock is going to strike sooner than later.
Do you think they win the NFC East still?
Well, yeah. The division stinks. The division stinks. Commanders, Carson Wentz, nice guy, but that team is just as bad as their stadium and their owner. I don't know what's worse, the team or the stadium itself. The Giants are, Vin, as you were saying, no weapons. Can you imagine who would have made more money? Kenny Galladay for not catching a touchdown or Sam Bradford for only playing, starting like 10 games? Either of those, that's a pretty good career I would want. They said, you want to be like Rodgers? No, I'd rather be Sam Bradford, Kenny Galladay. Get all this guaranteed money for doing nothing. That's quite a life, my friend.
Sam Bradford had the best money-making, non-productive NFL career ever.
That's what I would want. He still got paid.
He's going to pay $30 million a season, like every season.
Every year he'd get a big contract. And then, like, what has this guy done? Oh, he was the one overall pick. Yeah, but what has he done? Oh, he was the top overall pick. Like I said, $30 million a year for nothing. I would take that. Most people, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
So, whatever. The Giants are the Giants. But going with you, I like their defense, and I like Brian Daboll. He's a motivation coach. I love what they did in the first game, going for two. I told Mike, when you are the underdog and no one believes in you, you have to do something to show up. And they did, and that was a great win. Then you played a Panthers team that I like Baker, but I think this is it for him. But when you play real competition or you play someone better, like the Cowboys, and you don't show up, the issue is on Danny Dimes. I think you've seen enough from Danny Dimes. You have to move on. What they should have done is offered some pick or something for Jimmy Garoppolo, have him on that team. But then you'd be stuck in the same situation. And at this point, if you're the Giants, you basically have to start rebuilding all over again. Yeah. I could be wrong, but you're going to need you've seen what you've seen out of Danny Dimes. And I don't know if that ceiling can get any higher.
I think the Giants are going to look for their franchise quarterback in this draft coming up. I think that was their plan, was to see what they could get out of them, if anything, and let Gable make that decision, which I think, you know, he's going to come back and basically say, we're letting him go to free agency and we'll see who we like in this draft coming up. You know, who do we think is our next Josh Allen that, you know, we had in Buffalo, and try to make that that same kind of move for the Giants. That, you know, you're never going to get that kind of player, but that's the thought process I think the Giants are going to have going into the offseason.
But a lot goes into when you get that Josh Allen. It's people forget, like, you have to have the great O-line. You have to have a good roster. The Packers have done it right, and the Chiefs did it right. When we drafted Rodgers, Rodgers sat under Favre for 3 years, learning the system, learning his weapon, and then putting him in the position. When Mahomes was drafted, he was under a year under Alex Smith, learning the system, learning what worked, and then putting him in a position to be successful. Like I said, I don't like it when you draft a guy and then you throw him in the fire and make him figure it out, because it never works and they never pan out. If you're the Giants, though, at this point, wouldn't you just want to lose, try to get a worse record so you can pick the better fruit hanging from the tree?
I mean, as a Giant fan, yes, but Giant players are playing for their career, so they're not losing games.
Play to win the game.
Herm Edwards, play to win.
Herm's going to be back on the Jets now that he's out of Arizona State. He'll be back.
He's coming back next year.
He's coming back. Robert Saleh is going to upgrade his defensive coordinator position.
But to answer your question, Mike, yes, I think the Eagles win that division because that division has so many issues.
All right.
Go ahead, Vin.
No, let's jump to baseball because, you know, I see we're up against the clock, and I know Kyle's a big Brewers guy, and you know they're two games right now in the loss column to that last wild card behind the Phillies, and a lot of excitement. You know, I was impressed. I got to see a little bit of the Brewers when they played the Yankees and they played the Mets recently. So, you know, it was nice to see some of those guys and learn a little bit more about that team. But I'll let you dig into it, Kyle. Let me know what we're going to see over these last, I'm guessing, eight, nine games here.
We have 9 games left. The good thing is all of them are home. We started a 2-game series tonight against the Cardinals, 4 games against the Marlins, 3 against the Diamondbacks. If you want to make the playoffs here, you got to go 7-2. You got to win the games you're supposed to. You got to beat bad teams like the Marlins and the Diamondbacks. But what has hurt this team, the reason why they are where they are, and I'm not going to say the Hader trade had to happen. He was dealing with some personal issues, and Brewers saw something. And you don't pay a reliever $18 million. And he can't pitch every day because there's so much. When you throw that bat and you use that much energy, you have to have 1 or 2 days off to rest. If not, you burn yourself out, and you get into a similar situation like Aroldis Chapman. You're paying Aroldis Chapman right now $18 million, and it's just not as effective. So the issue with this Brewers have been is they have played to their competition's level. We played very good against the Yankees, who are a good team, or the Dodgers, or the Cardinals. But our issue has been against the Cubs, against the Reds, against the Pirates, against the Diamondbacks, against the Rockies. When you lose 3 out of 4 to the Diamondbacks, then 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, and you get swept by the Pirates. And against the Cubs are a bad team. And we have a 9-10 record. That's the difference between playing in October and staying at home. So you have to beat the teams you're supposed to, and the Brewers have had that issue this year. Unfortunately, some players have regressed. They've relied heavily on their pitching staff, and Freddy Peralta has been hurt. Brandon Woodruff has been down for a bit. Their bullpen has regressed, and you're placing unrealistic expectations on your offense, which struggled last year, and now you're putting even more pressure on them to perform. It's kind of led to a tough second half and a difficult August and September. But the Phillies have an easy schedule too. I believe they're playing the Nationals, then three games against the Nationals, I want to say, three against the Cubs, and three against the Astros, four against the Nationals, three Cubs, three Astros, which are all on the road. But for us, we have to go 7-2 to make that wild card spot. But it all depends on making it. If the Brewers can go on a hot streak, make it, you never know. And that's what the Brewers have learned. Last year, we won 96 games, which was great, but we struggled in the end of September. And then going into the playoffs, we struggled offensively, and our pitching wasn't doing okay. We lose in 4 to the Braves. Braves end up winning the World Series. All you have to do is get in. You never know.
Yeah, that's what it's been recently in baseball. Get in, and then you never know. You know, that's what you want to do. At least give yourself a shot. I think, one of the things I figured I'd ask you about, since we talk about it all the time here and as Yankees and Mets fans and you know, everyone we talk to, what are some of your thoughts when you see what Aaron Judge has done this year?
It's amazing. It's a great story. And this is what Aaron Judge's story this year had made baseball excitable. Of course, I love baseball. I always have. It's my favorite sport. But this is what makes maybe the common fan or the regular person want to watch games, want to go, is Judge trying to get to 62, trying to break Roger Maris's record. The average person's like, oh, I might want to go to a Yankee game, or I just want to watch to see Judge break it. That's what makes the sport exciting. MLB has an issue with PR, with marketing, and promoting the brand and the sport to younger fans and to other people who don't follow. I always feel like they're 5 or 10 years behind the other league. NBA and NFL are great at promotion and being able for it to be accessible, being able to watch on your phone, watch on national TV. If you want, you can watch on Sunday Ticket or League Pass. Or their athletes, they can promote social issues or promote their interests, their passion. MLB is terrible at that. Mike Trout is a generational player, but he can't really promote like the things he's passionate about, or MLB won't let him talk about what he wants on Instagram or Facebook or other social media platforms. So when you have stories like this, this is what made baseball excitable. You think about going back to 1998 when you had McGuire and Sosa. That's what brought people back into baseball. Baseball was a dark time after 94 in the strike, after the strike, and people weren't following. When you had stories like this, people are listening. People want to watch. People are going to talk. And it's great for the sport. What Judge is doing is awesome. And I think he's playing out of his mind right now. But I keep telling Yankee fans, after this season, I wouldn't pay him. He's 31. This is his second year fully healthy. There's no way that you replicate this season. And if you pay him, whatever, 35, 40, Harper money, Mike Trout money, even whatever contract he gets, you're tied up to that contract. You can't keep the rest of your team. The rest of your team, besides Aaron Judge, I believe is flawed. You have a flawed bullpen. Pitching Cole has struggled recently, and I don't like your manager, Aaron Boone. If it weren't for Judge making historic strides, right now you wouldn't be first place in your own division.
Oh, yeah, Kyle, I agree with you. You know, Vinny and I have had these conversations. Without Aaron Judge's contributions this year, the Yankees would be a 500 team, if that.
Yeah.
Every home run Aaron Judge hits, he gets $10 million on his new contract. So he's up to $600
million. But that would be nice. But no, there's been lineup issues, bullpen issues, pitching issues. It's been tough. It's been a – But as you said, with the marketing, I agree with you 110% that it was so awesome even seeing on ESPN or ABC that they would put the Aaron Judge 61st home run on so they could get national viewership, which definitely helps the MLB, which people are like, wow, we really want to see this guy do it. We want to watch baseball. Whereas already, you know, with the NFL and their fan base. And by the way, on a funny note, Vinny and I saw this, the Pro Bowl, thank God, they're moving into a skills competition. Good job to the NFL, because that was the worst thing ever. So the NFL knows what they're doing. Now baseball has to take a step up in their marketing campaign, because that's the greatest thing ever.
Are you still?
I think I had a segment on one of the shows where I just complained about All-Star games.
You did.
But are you still going to watch if it's a skills competition? I'm not going to.
Well, listen, I would watch it more than the game.
I think.
I'm not saying I would.
Yeah. I think a skills competition is something the younger audience likes to watch. So similar to like the three-point contest, the slam dunk contest for the NBA. Younger people like to see that kind of stuff, especially if they do like a 40-yard dash, or you know, how far can you throw a ball? And then they're gonna have they're promoting flag football as well, because they want to get flag football into the Olympics in 2028. So you're gonna see a lot of flag football in the next like 6-7 years with NFL players and all that stuff also. So it all connected to a bunch of various things and money and marketing and all that stuff that, you know, we end up forgetting about the multi-billion-dollar business the NFL is, and what their actual motives are in doing what they do is always tied to creating more revenue and bringing more sponsors and all that fun stuff that goes along with that.
They're really trying to get flagged. Who's going to be like a professional flag football player? Is this all going to be like ex-NFL?
Let me tell you, Terrell Owens can play.
Finally. I know him. Right? And, who else? Andre Rison is still trying to get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he can get in the Flag Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You know, like, listen, these guys, they don't have to tackle. They don't have to, you know, really lay hands. Yeah. You just got to have a little skills and speed and guys can still play, you know. And then you get guys that run 4.2s in college, and you throw them out there and just go.
That sounds, I don't know, flag football. That just sounds so boring. Like, that's worse than spring football.
Yeah. Well, you know, schools are promoting it too, because they are trying to take away the whole concussion thing and all that as well. So, but as we know, football is all about the hits and the guts and all that other stuff, and just the way football's supposed to be played. I mean, we understand that there's a lot of circumstances and things that have happened over the years, but at the same time, I think they're doing the best they can to try to protect players.
Yeah.
So before we go, because we are running up on time, our man here, the golf guru himself, Anthony, has sent in his message. And Mike, he says, lock up the Bengals Thursday, and he's going to take the Jets and the money line. And he's got a 17 parlay with more picks to share later. So we'll have to wait and see what else he's going to throw at us. I think he's all excited now after he did well on his 16 parlay this weekend.
Yeah, I'll ride it out. But you should tell Vinny what he said about the Bengals and why I think it was interesting why he likes the Bengals.
He likes the Bengals because of this short week, Dolphins traveling. And also on defense, the Dolphins faced 90 plays in the heat. So that's why he is high on the Bengals, thinking short week, travel, worn out defense. He thinks the Bengals will win that game, but you know, on Thursday night. So that's there's his pick. Okay. So Kyle, we appreciate it. We thank you. We're going to have you hopefully back on maybe after the Jets lose to the Packers.
Thanks for the confidence, Vinny.
Hey, listen, the Raiders, are on their way to 0-17, the first team in the history of the NFL to lose 17 games. We're on pace. If anything, maybe we end up getting the first overall quarterback coming out next year and stifling the Giants and the Seahawks and everybody else who thought they were going to get the number one quarterback.
I just want to say one last thing about the Raiders, which is so funny about Vinny and just doing the podcast with him every week. You know, Vinny will come out with these comments, and when they lost that horrible game against Arizona, I had asked Vinny, what'd you do after the game? He goes, I just went upstairs and had dinner, right? So he says it all like calm and collective. He's like, I'm not going to get mad. This is a team that's been doing this, and I'm used to this. And then, like, slowly but surely, he starts going off on a tangent, and he's laughing up there like a nut, like, and they got to do this and this and this, and they freaking suck, and this is why. And I'm like, whoa. So, it's great, and that's why I tune into that. I think, what was that episode, 39 or something? You got to tune into it. It was fantastic to see Vinny go off on that. It's great.
I did my best impression of Glenn Dorsey in the offensive coordinator booth after the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just want to say, Kyle, thank you again. If you really want to have a great conversation in sports, you talk to Kyle Manske. I mean, Kyle is just, a young guy with so much knowledge and so much passion for baseball, football, all sports. But you really talk to him. He knows the stats. You can have a conversation with things, anything Packers, anything Brewers, but anything in all sports, any team. He has such a passion for it. So it's always a pleasure having him on. And yeah, we will have you on after that Jets-Packers game for sure.
And he remembers that Carson Wentz is a bum.
Yes. Great memory, too.
That was a big argument I remember having with Ben. Like, no, this guy's okay, but confident. And you wrote, no, Carson Wentz is hashtag bomb.
All right,
guys. Appreciate you, Kyle. Mike, have a great night. Audience,
have a great night, Dan. We'll see you.
Yeah.
Bye. All right.
Wow, that was awesome.
Well, I don't think he edited it yet. Hold on. He's still going. I'm just gonna end it.